Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be together again. I want to give a little update on Ellen. Ellen was at Hersey this week. She had a bout with pneumonia, and she had to go on IVs and oxygen, IV antibiotic. And she was there till, I think she came home yesterday. So I just wanted to give that update that she is home. She is still on antibiotics, but doing well. I found that if you want encouraged, normally we go to encourage the sick, but if you want encouraged, go see Ellen. She's an incredible testimony of God's grace amidst tremendous pain, She said, going to Hershey, she thought maybe that she was gonna, that something was happening inside that mass that she talked about last week. The doctor came in, or 2 weeks ago, the doctor came in and said, you know, he said, I really think that's dead tissue, that's deteriorating, and there's some holes in it. And so that was a relief for her to know as well. But yeah, she's, I asked her, I said, so when are you going to write your book? She said, actually, I'm starting. And she has a blog. She's starting to blog. It's a unique title. What is it, hon? Something about dragons. And Exodus talks about the habitation of dragons. And it's, it talks about her journey through sexual abuse and a lot of pain. And so she has a blog that would be worth following. But I don't know the title right now. Well, this morning I'm going to deviate from Ephesians and go to our embrace relationship theme. For a little lesson on finishing strong, finishing well. I want you to think in your mind, in the beginning here, I'm going to ask for your participation, we're going to make a list. I want you to think in your mind of an older person in the 70s or 80s that you admire, that's a godly person, that you look up to, that when I get old, I want to be like that. And I want you to tell me the qualities that they have. So we're going to list the qualities that they have on the board this morning. So just call them out. Just real loud.
Life giver.
Life giver. Humor. Faithful. What's that?
Positive.
Engaged. Man, a lot to live up to here. What's that?
Power.
Powerful? Okay, we have uncompromising up here. Okay. What a list. My question, the current trajectory of your life, the current path you're on, are you going to end up here? The current path that you're currently on, will it get you to where you want to be and to the person you admire? Will your commitment to Jesus, will your faithfulness, your prayerfulness, your gentle spirit, will that current path that you're on get you to where you want to be at the end of your life? You know, I don't think we go to bed one night and wake up this person. Like, I don't know what that age that is. Norman, you're one of the older persons here. I don't think you wake up one morning and you're this person. Is that true? Like, you just don't get awake on Thursday morning and you're gentle, you're joyful, you're fire, you care about, you know, it just doesn't happen overnight. Outside of an act of God, if you're grumpy now, you'll be grumpy then, outside of an act of God in your heart. Unless you allow God to change that heart, grumpy now means grumpy then, or unjoyful now means unjoyful then. For the sake of illustration this morning, I'm going to divide us into four quarters, our ages, from 0 to 20. We're going to call the first quarter. From 21 to 40 is the second quarter. From 41 to 60 is the third quarter. And 61 to 80 is the fourth quarter. And 80 and above is overtime. All right? Some people here are in overtime, or God's grace of giving them more time. So I want all the first quarter people to stand. Who's living in the first quarter of their life? Wow. Okay, you may be seated. Now I want the second quarter people to stand, 21 to 40. Look around. There's your comrades. Okay, you may sit down. How about third quarter? That's my quarter. Third quarter people. Okay. All right. Okay, I want the fourth quarter people to stand. Come on, Norman. Fourth quarter people. All right, you may be seated. Well, okay, he is overtime. You're right. Go ahead, Norman. Alvin, I'm sorry. I was including them. Go ahead, stand. So the Bible says you're given 70 or basically 70 years, and if God sees fit to give you more, it's a gift from him. And so we have some people here that God's blessed with many more years, and we're thankful for that. But for general purposes, I'm breaking you into four quarters. The first quarter, 20 years, 40 years, 60 and 80. And we're going to think of life in four quarters this morning. I want you to hold your hand up. Look at your hand. Most of us have four fingers. Some of us have 4 1/4 fingers. If Daryl was here, he has a couple less fingers. I don't think he's here this morning. Let's see. Yeah, there he is. He's got some missing fingers too. Okay, I want you to think of your pinky as your first quarter of your life. The next quarter of your life is your next finger. The third quarter is your middle finger. The fourth quarter is your pointer finger. Okay? Four quarters represent here in the hand. And then you have this thing called the thumb. And we're going to see what significant role that plays in our life this morning. All these fingers can act independently of each other and do many crazy things. But this thumb is very valuable, very important. And we're going to see the value of that this morning. I want a volunteer to come up. Any age, male or female. All right, come on, Noah. Okay. I got a job for you. Here's a board with a screw, okay? I want you to screw that screw in. This is pine wood, so it's pretty soft. And I started it, but you can't use your thumb. Okay? Think you can do it? No thumb. No thumb. Watch out. No thumb. How's it going? You're getting there. You can't get it. All right. Well, thanks for coming up. Good job. I tried that at home, and I looked pretty weird. You think about trying it without your thumb. It's incredible. You know, there's some people who compensate very well without a limb. If you want something interesting, Google Matt Stutzman. He's the armless archer. I don't know if he's ready to use Steve or not. A little bit? All right. He has no arms, but he's a gold medal archery archer. And he also has videos of changing a tire with his feet. He takes an air gun, he picks up wrenches, he turns nuts on with his feet. It's amazing what they can compensate with without their limbs. But generally, you can't do a whole lot without your thumb. You can do some things, but your thumb is mighty important to what you do. So when these fingers are busy doing something, the thumb quickly, readily comes over and assists you in what you're doing. No complaining, the thumb comes over there. I don't care what finger you're needing at the moment, the thumb is right there to help you, willingly coming to get it done. And you all need to work together to get something done. You talk about a mechanic someone uses their hands a lot, knows the value of a hand working together and the thumb being an integral part of that team. Two verses this morning I want you to remember that's so important, that in any stage of life, your thumb represents God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit all in one. Every stage of life, God is there to meet you. He's there in your 20s. He's there in your 40s. He's there in your 60s. He's there in your 80s. Jesus represents the thumb. So I want you to remember that forever and ever. It goes with you. Two verses. John 15:5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same boy bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. So we do a lot of things in our lives independently of our thumb. We try to. But without the thumb, without Jesus, you can do nothing, okay? Now let's look at Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can do a lot. You can do just about anything with this thumb. You can do a lot that you won't do without the thumb. I just want to stress the importance that God is here to meet us in every stage of our life. Whether we're in our 20s, our 30s or 40s, 50s or 60s, 70s or 80s, God is here with us to meet our needs in every stage of life. We can be independent, we can do our own thing. We can live our life without our thumb and do our own thing. But there's going to come a day, if not, on your deathbed, you're going to come face to face. What am I going to do with Jesus? Because you're going to face the end, and Jesus is going to be the only answer to answer those questions. Every stage of life we're in is a foundation for the next. So your decisions, what you do in your 20s, your first 20 years, has a huge impact on the next stage of life. And those of you who built anything know that if you don't start with a firm foundation or a straight foundation, the next layer is going to be that much more off. And it's so important because every stage of life we build off the former stage. And it's so ironic, as I broke life into four quarters, how segmented they really are. And they focus on a specific time in our lives when things are so foundational to that era, and we'll get into that a little bit. But the choices we make today greatly affect where we want to be. The choices we make in every stage of our life, every quarter, greatly affect the next quarter. And they have a huge impact. So if you start out on the bottom, the foundation, you're really off, really, really off. What do you think you're going to be like when you're in your fourth quarter? You're going to be really bad, outside of an act of God. And I just want to say that at any stage of life, God can meet us, and our hearts can change. There is hope that in any stage of life you're in, whether you're in the first quarter or the fourth quarter, God is there to meet you and can bring change in your heart. I want to compare the four quarters to football. Now, I'm not a coach. I've never been a coach. So you that are coaches, you may laugh, but that's okay. In the first quarter, I think you're trying to figure things out. You're trying to figure the other team out, how they work, how they're working together, how your team's working together. You're trying to discover the weaknesses of the other team. How am I going to get around this big lineman that's right in front of me? Can they defend the pass or the run? So we're trying to figure this team out. The second quarter, you try to make decisions on the fly. Well, this didn't work in the first quarter. Let's just try this and see if this works. And we do some experimenting. And we try to expose the teams what we think is their weakness. We start picking away little by little in the second quarter, trying to see if it works. When we start trying to break them down. Well, it comes halftime. I've never been in a organized team halftime locker room. Maybe some of you have. But my picture is that the coach gets in there and just screams and yells. And the players just sit there and take it. I don't know. I've never been there. Some of you may have. But ideally, you should look at what happened in the first half. This did not work, guys. You did not play together as a team, yada, yada. This is our plan in the second, in the third quarter. This is how we're going to go out. And you get a plan together to go out and make the third and fourth quarter the best and to win the game. Third quarter, you implement the plan. You try to implement what you think needed to change, and you work hard and you work together as a team to accomplish those goals. And the fourth, hopefully those changes worked. It's about enduring. You're starting to wear down. You need strengthened, need more liquids. You may even need an IV. But you do whatever you got to do to win. You stick together, you fight, you strengthen your weak areas, you bring a sub in, whatever, and you fight to the finish because you want that prize, you want that goal, you want to win. You know, life in a lot of ways can be broken into four quarters like that. Quick detour. Our society does not look well on aging. We try to deny, defy, and delay aging. We deny it. So if I ask Steve Stutzman how old he is, he'd probably say 39. We all know he'd be lying. So when we ask people their age, we like to say we're younger than we are. Some people do embrace their age, but generally, I'm talking in generalities this morning, we don't like to admit we're getting older and that we're aging. We try to defy it. We do things that we shouldn't do at our age or shouldn't be done. That's not all bad. It's good to push yourself. But there's a line, I guess, where old guys shouldn't be doing some things. And yeah, but we try to defy our age. And there's people that in their older age doing incredible things. And that's not bad. But we try to defy our age that we're not getting older. And we try to delay it. It said that in 2016, there was $16 billion spent on plastic surgery in America alone. $16 billion. That could feed a lot of people. Outwardly, we're wasting away. This body is deteriorating. It will, from dust we are to dust we go. We know that. It's a temporary housing. It's the house that God's temple, that God's spirit dwells in for the believer. And it's the temporary housing, and he uses this temporary housing to accomplish his purpose that he wants you to do. So it's a temporary house, but it's wearing out. But why do we focus so much on the outward? Why do we focus on something that's dying and deteriorating? I'm not throwing any stones. I mean, I like to look young too. But it's just something in us that wants to defy our aging body. And we spend so much time and energy and money on our outside when we know the direction it's going. Don't hear me saying that we're not supposed to try to maintain our bodies. Don't hear me at all. But why do we try to, stay away from the aging process and that older age? And maybe it's because in America we don't honor our fourth quarter people like we should. That the fourth quarter people are our heroes. They've run the race. They've set the example, and there are. That's who we want to be like. This is what we want to be when we get old. We get to the fourth quarter of life. We will be life givers. We will have integrity, uncompromising. We want to be humorous, accepting age gracefully, faithful, and the list goes on. That's what we want to be like. Second Corinthians 4:16 says, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet inwardly it's being renewed day by day." So, just to illustrate, and I'm sure it's at some point in our lives, our bodies start breaking down. I'm not sure where that is, but we'll say this is where we're born. And at some point, our bodies grow and get stronger. And if there's a scientist here or a doctor here, they would probably have a specific, I don't know. But at some point, our body breaks down, and we start going downhill. And say this is our spiritual birth. Inwardly, we get stronger and stronger and stronger. And say this is the end. The longer we go, the stronger we get. And yet we focus a lot of time, energy, and money on our bodies that go like this. How much time, focus, energy do we put in growing the inward man spiritually? How much energy and focus do you put on that part of your body, part of your being? Our faith is to grow stronger and stronger through the tests of life, through the experiences of life. God wants us to get stronger and stronger and stronger. But sometimes it tends to follow the same trajectory as our outward body, that the older we get, the less and further away we get from God, and we lose heart. 2 Peter 3:17, I'm going to use this verse twice this morning. Therefore, beloved, since you know that this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness. So he's giving you a warning that you don't fall from your own walk with God. Being led away by the error of the wicked. So there's going to be those who are going to try to lead you other ways. But grow in grace, that's a maturity and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So again, I ask you, what are you investing in your inward man to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior? I want to go into the first, second, and third quarters of our lives and just talk a little bit about that. I told Andre I'd be done in half an hour. I got to keep moving. So much happens in the first quarter of our life. We're born, we grow up, so much happens in the first 20 years. It's incredible. You go from this, there's some here that's probably, I'm not sure who the youngest baby is here this morning, probably Jonathan's, who's a little bundle. Who's 20 years old? Raise your hand. Gabe. Gabe's 20 years old. So you go from that little bundle to Gabe in 20 years. That's incredible, the amount of development that happens in the first 20 years. And it's so important, the foundation we lay in those 20 years, because we're building the rest of our life hypothetically on that foundation of those 20 years. And it's so important that we make wise choices in those 20 years. We learn so much about who we are. And during those 20 years, God's going to call you to himself. He's going to call you to be a follower of his. And you, those of you who have made that commitment, know that time when that was, when you came to Jesus to be a follower. What you want to do happens in those 20 years. The teenage years, when you think you know everything, I was there. I know what that's like. But in those teenage years, you think you know everything, you think you have all the answers. And we're still sorting life out in those 20 years. 1 Timothy 4:12 to 16, and you know this, but just listen again. A blueprint for the first 20 years. Let no man despise thy youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that was given to you by the prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will both save yourself and those who hear you. Incredible encouragement to young people. Be steadfast. Be invested in your relationship with God. You know, there's so much wasted years and consequences when we come to life, to come to Christ later in life. You know, we can come to Christ at any time. We can respond to his call. But the wasted years and the consequences of our choices, we don't have to do that. We can take care of that in the first quarter of our life. And you know, in the first quarter of life, there's a lot of times you're going to feel alone. Like you're out here all on a limb. Your pinky can feel like he's a nobody. But whenever you feel that way, I want you to take your thumb to your pinky and say, God is with me. God is with me in those first 20 years of my life. Second quarter. So we built a foundation. You all have built one. Gabe, you have built a foundation for your life, and you're going to start the next 20 years. The second quarter of your life is going to be built on that foundation. So how solid is your foundation? By the choices we've made. The second quarter is a quarter of great opportunity. It's a great opportunity because we're learning about, okay, we've learned who we are in the first quarter, or the gifts, and we probably have got a job now, or you're going to college, or you're starting a ministry, or maybe you're starting a business. You may be getting married in those early part of your second quarter. If not, if you have God's call of singleness, then he has a ministry for you. So in that quarter, there's so much happening. So much happening, and there can be a tendency to get your eyes off of God and do everything on your own. 2 Peter, I'm going to read it again, 3:17. Therefore, beloved, since you have known this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness and being led away by the error of the wicked, but grow in grace and knowledge of Lord and Savior. Also, in Deuteronomy 4, before the children of Israel went into Canaan, God said, you're going to get to Canaan, it's going to be grand. There's going to be everything you dreamed of. He says, don't forget God. And my cry to the second quarter people here this morning is, in your busyness, in starting families, in starting a business, or ministry, or college, or whatever you're doing, don't forget God. Don't lose sight of your relationship with God. Don't forget to invest in the inward man. Don't forget God. We'll meet you in the second quarter of your life. So take your finger and your thumb, and whenever you feel alone, God is with me in the second quarter of my life. It can also be a time when we're most vulnerable. We're in our 20s, we're powerful, we think we know a lot, and we can be very vulnerable to other teaching. And the verse in 2 Peter 3:17, be careful you don't fall from your own steadfastness. There's many voices out there. Make sure you know what you're listening to, and make sure it's built and based on Scripture, the Bible. Third quarter, and in third quarter is halftime. That can be a time of letting go. For those of you that are married, the third quarter, so much happens in there as well. Your children they get their license, they become teens, they join a youth group, they graduate, they get married, they go off to college. So much happens in the third quarter of our lives. And during the third quarter of our lives, many men, I can't speak for the ladies, we go through this midlife crisis that we want to buy a red vet. and we just don't know what's happening. Like, we look, we're like sitting on this top of this mountain. We look back at our life and said, "Huh, that was a long time ago." And we look forward, we don't know how much time we have left. And it's this weird feeling. It's like, am I accomplishing what God has called me to do? Like, is the job I'm doing worth anything? Like, will it get me to where I want to be? And we have all these things going through our minds. And we usually have to sit down with someone and help sort them out. And that's what I call halftime. So we go in the locker room, we get people around us, and we talk about where we're going, where we've been. I know Vernon's talked about that. Just the time of regrouping and getting ready for the third and fourth quarter of our lives, if God allows. And there's so many adjustments, because you go from your 20s to your 40s and your 50s, and you're not as strong as you were. So physically, you're dealing with this body that is breaking down. And you can lose your identity in some of the ways in the body that you've had, then you see it breaking down. Fourth quarter. That's what we're all looking for, right? Retirement. We can go to Sarasota and play shuffleboard or wherever your favorite golf course is. I have a neighbor who is retired. He drove truck most of his life. He just sits around. Is that your picture of retirement? I suggest to you a different picture. It's called productive retirement, where you don't have the deadlines of your job that you have to be, you have to get this done, you have to do this. That's all gone. Right, Alvin? Retirement's glorious. But it's a productive retirement. We can do things we've never done. We can be at places we've never been. And it's a totally different focus. So fourth quarter people, the people I look up to, the Normans, the Alvins, the Esters, Steve and Sarah, and those others here, the people who are in the fourth quarter of their lives have invested so much and given so much, and they have so much to offer. And I was thinking, if we had lunch today, I would ask everyone, if possible, to sit with a person in a different quarter. And just to have interaction with someone from a different quarter. You know, first quarter people, those fourth quarter people have been through the game. They know what's going on. And there's such an incredible wealth of knowledge is available in our fourth quarter people. Andrea, I missed my deadline. What should I do? But no, the retirement for our culture today is I don't think a biblical picture of retirement. I believe God calls us to be productive. Nowhere in Scripture does it talk about our bodies may break down, but inwardly we're still giving, we're still productive, we're still growing. A number of verses I wanted to just share with you in the fourth quarter. Isaiah 46:4. I will still be carrying you when you are old. Your hair will turn gray. I will still carry you. I made you. I will carry you safely. Psalms 92:12-14. But the godly shall flourish like a palm tree and grow like strength of Lebanon. They are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of our God. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. You get that? It's not the retirement, it's productive retirement. You will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. They will declare, "The Lord is just. He is my rock. There is no evil in him." Growing stronger and stronger the older you get. Job 12:12, wisdom belongs to the aged, understanding to the old. So second and third quarter people, you should be talking to the fourth quarter people about life, about what you're dealing with. Psalm 71:18-19. For now I am old, my hair is gray. Do not leave me, God. I must tell the next generation about your power and greatness. Fourth quarter people, invest in younger people, please. You have been given so much. invest in younger people. And I know that you are in a lot of ways, as God allows. Our bodies break down, but the spiritual gift that God has given us will never break down. It may look a little different. You may have to minister a little different, but that gift God gave you will never die. Fourth quarter people, you could be grandparents for probably 30, 40, or 50 years or more, depending on how much time God gives you. That's incredible influence on grandchildren. Elvin, how many grandchildren do you have?
20.
Norman, how many do you have? Do you know? Seven. So if it's 20 or 7 or 57, Esther, how many do you have?
17.
Whatever it is, you have a huge influence on those, on that generation. And remember, fourth quarter people, you're right here. You're close to God's heart. You're not far away. Don't know when God's going to call you, but you're right close to God. And God will meet you there, and God will carry you safely to the other side. Quickly, five truths for every quarter of life. Number one is ask God for help. And these are true no matter what quarter you're in, whether the first quarter or the fourth quarter. Trust in the Lord in all your heart, lean on your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your paths. That's so important. In all your ways, as you're building your foundation, first quarter people, acknowledge him, and he will help set your ways straight. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. What's upbraideth mean? Does anyone know? Scold, or grudgingly. So he will not scold you or grudgingly give it to you. He shall give it, and it shall be given to him. He will give liberally. He will not withhold or scold you for it. So you get the picture. You go to someone, ask them a question. They say, that's a dumb question. God ain't got to do that to you. He's going to give you wisdom. You come to him, you ask for him for wisdom. Second thing, in every quarter of life, you should mature as a Christian. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Never stop learning. Never stop growing. And maturing as a Christian. 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we with unveiled faces behold the glory of the Lord, being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. God is about transforming this heart to become more like him. And that's our goal as a believer, is to grow stronger and stronger. So what are you investing in your relationship with God to grow stronger and stronger? Third thing is faith and courage. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists. And he rewards those who seek him. Kelsey talked about faith this morning. You know, faith is, when you came to Jesus, you had faith, you believed. We don't understand all that Jesus said, but I believe it and I act on it. That's faith. I believe it and I act on it. And every quarter of our life takes faith. Believing what God said is true and acting on it. Believing what God has revealed for you as his plan and acting on it takes a lot of faith. And Ryan talked about having courage and faith and facing his fears. And courage. Every quarter of life takes courage. There's a lot of things that we fear in our lives in every quarter. And you can think back through your life or of the things that took courage or maybe you shied away from. Courage is being obedient even when you don't feel like it. It's being obedient even when you don't feel like it. I saw a quote by John Wayne that said, courage is saddling up in the face of death. The next thing is being a part of God's kingdom on earth. being part of God's kingdom on earth. In the Lord's Prayer, thy will be, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Being part of the bringing the kingdom of God to those around you. And that's the call for every quarter of life, to be a part of God's kingdom. That's going to look different for each of us, what he's called us to. Irvin has a heart and a calling for the refugees in Syria and the persecuted church. Some of people have other callings, and God's calling in other areas of bringing the kingdom of God, the love of God to the people of this earth. You know, in the end times, I believe the light will get brighter and brighter, and the dark will get darker and darker, and there'll be a greater separation of the Christian and the non-Christian. The last one is be an encourager. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Bible talks a lot about encouraging our brothers. And we can all do that. Whatever quarter of life we're in, we can all be an encourager to each other. So as you think about life, whatever quarter you're in, whether you're the first quarter or the fourth quarter or you're in overtime, just remember that God is right here with you. Waiting to meet you, waiting to meet every need. He's there to give you faith and courage, give you grace in every situation of life. You may be here this morning and you may be facing a rough part of your journey, or you're facing decisions that, you know, you really don't know which way to turn. And you like prayer. I believe the body of Christ, or somebody like this morning, we should be here for each other and pray for each other in our needs. So if you're here this morning and you would just like to be remembered in prayer, do you want to raise your hand this morning? Just raise your hand. Like you're facing something that you want prayer for. Yeah, we have a lot of things going on in our lives. And a lot of times we try to act independently. This little guy here got in trouble because he acted independently. If he would have been with the thumb, he would have never got in there. But I tried to do something with just my pinky, my pointer finger, and got cut off. A lot of illustrations. His hand, and how God wants to meet us in every area of our life. Let's pause for prayer. I'm going to remember those who raised their hands. Father, we thank you for your word. God, there's so many promises and truths, and there's an answer for every one of our problems, maybe not specifically, but in principle. Lord, I just pray for each one who raised their hand this morning, and whatever they're facing, whatever they're going through, God, meet them in their time of need, in the time of struggle, of questioning or decisioning. I just pray for the body of Christ to come around them and to encourage them and strengthen them in this time of their life. God, I lift up Ellen again to you this morning, and I just pray for that you bring healing to her body, if not against your will, Lord. And I just thank you for her testimony of you, of your grace in her life. And we praise you, Lord, for being our God in every quarter of life. In Jesus' name, amen.